Good evening, dear listeners. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. I think it's now the right time to thank Helmut and Dwight with their home run program. And yeah, as it has always been the case, this is the platform where we discuss business and economic matters. It's a platform where we discuss business and economic matters. And the good thing about Business and Economic Segment is that our conversation and our topic are cutting across various topics, particularly those which are linked and connected to issues of bread and butter, And here is also the platform where we discuss and analyze policy issues, institutional policies, organizational policies, national policies, which affect our domestic economy, which are affecting our domestic lives, which are affecting the market. And we also look at international policies and also, international financial policies, particularly those which are affecting, the financial system of Namibia, and try by all means to bring those thought-provoking questions, to bring about those, important conversation to that extent that, they will allow us as Namibians to think, rethink, reevaluate our decisions and also find better ways on handling and also, doing things. And, this is also a platform where we don't just, dominate the conversation. We also give an opportunity to callers and listeners so that they will be able to communicate with us, air their view, bring their constructive criticism. And, as I'm already saying, at Business and Economic Segment, we are of the understanding that, for us to build institutions, for us to move, forward progressively and also, to contribute positively to the goals of the national development agenda, we don't necessarily need to say, all right, every day or agreeing on one thing. We need to those, different views, different policies and different way of thinking, because it's through diversification of, ideas and mechanisms that we'll be able to co-create better methods. And yeah, just to make sure that, at least as long as Namibia is not where it is supposed to be, we have to continue building that house called Namibia, and to make sure that we remove ourselves from these unnecessary rankings that continue to pile on our workload already as citizens of this country. Talk about economic inequality. Why Namibia being the second in the whole world? Talk about issues of, happiness level in terms of life satisfaction. We are not on the good side. We talk about oil price. You talk about electricity price highest in SADC region. You talk about youth unemployment or unemployment in general. We are leading in SADC. Then you can add a lot of things, being grey listed on top of that, put on high risk jurisdiction, asking yourself a lot of questions. Is there something that you are not doing right? Those are some of the things that you want to care about. And most importantly, also look at trade and who are we trading with and who are we connected with. Just before we go to the conversation for today and to tell you what is on the table, sorry, it's very important to make sure that, you connect with us, Eagle FM Namibia, connect with us on Facebook, like our page and share our page so that you will not be left out. Connect with us on Instagram. Connect with us on LinkedIn and also on X, so that you'll be able to be updated with timely economic, business, statistics, energy related, information, farming, and everything which touch our bread and butter issues. And the other thing also that we have an e-paper, that is the Villager newspaper. It's an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And getting access to it, you get access to economic value. You get the access to variable information. Then you can make those, informed long-term personal and organizational strategic decisions that can assist you at a personal level, and also at an organizational level, which can also, indeed contribute to the the betterment of Namibia. And the other thing, there are also those who are asking a lot of good questions to say, Gel FM, where are you? We want to be connected with you, but you guys, you are not, your radio is not connected in this town and all the things. We have a Eagle FM app, an Eagle FM app that you can download through Play Store. But for now, let's go to a commercial break, then we can come finish Eagle FM product before we go to the conversation.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Welcome back to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, like I was saying, there are those who are asking a lot of good questions to say, Eagle FM Namibia, we are not connected. Where is the frequency? Why are we not hearing you here in this town, in this region? As we are always advising you to say, we are moving to the world of digitalization. People are using advanced technology. Even when you look around in the world, people are no more fighting this conventional warfare. People are using high level of technology. That's why we are saying we have Eagle FM app that you can download through Play Store. You can download, if you have an iPhone, use the what you download with, then you can be able to download that that Eagle FM app. Put it in your phone. Getting access to it, very easy to use, because when you open it, you automatically listen to the programs which are on air. And it's also very interesting that you can go to podcast, where you will be able also to access previous information or previous news, shows and programs that you missed. Could be that you were busy, but you'll be able to access them. That is an app. But you can also listen to us online. Just punch in Eagle FM Namibia or Eagle FM. You press where there is home. Then automatically, or fortunately, you'll be able now to listen to what is, you know, what we are saying on air. And you'll be able also to contribute to the conversation and also to the content. And the last but not the least, before we go to the conversation for today, is also the aspect of use Imba app. We also have another interesting app that simplify life, particularly to the Christians and those who like to sing using a hymn book. Because Imba app is one of the app that when you download it, you open it, you have access to your church hymn book. Because the world is not more dealing with hard copies. Yes, hard copy is good, but in a situation where you are attending an urgent event, in a situation where you do not have your hymn book, gave it to somebody, is lost, stolen, or you just do not have it at that moment, just so you know what you can do, download Imba app. When you download Imba app, your life become more easier and simplified, so you can be able to sing along. And I'm always telling people this, even a pastor, when you don't have a hymn book or you gave it to somebody, the world is moving to the world of digitalization. And you don't necessarily need to drive back home or take a cab back home or walk home so you can get the hymn book, so that you can proceed with your what, directing of the congregation. You can just take your phone, download Imba app, access to it. Then from there, life is more easier and you'll be able to help your people at that service. Interestingly, Imba app is not only having a Hangano, you know, a hymn book, but we have many other local Namibian languages that you can access to. You can talk about Isilozi, talk about Tocherero. You can also talk about Afrikaans and English and many other local Namibian languages. So you can just download it, then you can use it. So on top of that, let's go to a commercial break. Then we can look at what we have on the table today and how can we dissect it. And yeah.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ikuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili.
Yes, as we are proceeding with business and economic segment, today we are looking at geopolitics, we are looking at global affairs, and we are also, looking at how these things which are happening far, thousands of kilometers, thousands of miles from where we are, affecting the way we do things. How can they, affect the way we do things at home? And for the past 12 years, there have been a lot of news updates. People forgetting even the Russian-Ukraine war. There have been an intensified fight, a war of advancement, and also a war which uses high level of technology between Israel and Iran. Israel being the person who invaded Iran with a different motive of stopping creation of nuclear bombs, as per their communication. And this war was not just an ordinary war, it was an extraordinary war, to that extent that even a lot of lives, a lot of, countries, economies were at stake, because the expenditure is too much. People are talking about 4 billion, people are talking about, particularly from Israel's side, the destruction is unimaginable, and many other things when you look at the Middle East. But what is very interesting, something very interesting happened, the United States of America, which support Israel, decided to enter the war because they realized that Israel does not have ability and capacity to penetrate, nuclear sites of Iran. They use a Bacabuster bomb. It's one of the heaviest non-nuclear bomb that America, in American arsenal. And things have turned out. When things turn out, Iran retaliated, striking US military asset around the region. And one thing very interesting happened, the Qatar, you know, when you talk about Qatar, you talk about Saudi Arabia, you talk about Oman, you talk about, Dubai. Those are wealthy countries and they don't like their economy to be touched. They don't like their economy to be touched. And, they started intervening to say, you guys are blocking our business and you are blocking our space. I mean, that war is going to also contaminate us. Now, the conversation for today is driven by what the parliament of Iran did. Iran had also something under the table that the world did not know, that is so geographically, strategically positioned to that extent that if it make that a very small move, the world economy is going to be shaken. The world economy is going to be shaken. It looks simple, but the world economy is going to be shaken. And I think this is one of the things that brought these countries to the table. Not the main thing, but one of the main contributors to this, countries to come on the table. And what is very interesting is that they passed, parliament passed a resolution, because in Iranian parliament, the structure is so sophisticated to that even the president does not have much power. They have a supreme leader that when he says something, it will be done. On Monday, they passed a resolution to say, we are going to block the Strait of Hormuz is a pathway through the Middle East, sea that connect the Gulf, and the way a lot of ship have to pass through, ships, boats have to pass through, and they're estimating about 20% of world oil per day passing through that route. And Iran has an advantage of blocking that, and it will cripple the oil market to affect the business people. People start complaining, not only the Chinese, not only the Americans, but also us Africans. That was one of the change maker, because even if Iran was firing at U.S. military assets, they did not reply, because they understood that once that law is put into place by Ayatollah Khomeini, because it's already drafted, it's already approved by parliament, it's only for Ayatollah to give a directive, because with him, everything that he says, it's become a law and it's become an order. You can't negotiate, because that's the structure of Iran is. Then business people decided to say, no, Trump, calm down. This thing is going to bring us a lot of problems. Yeah, that's why now we are now trying to look at how this thing, if it happened, or how can it, affect Namibia domestic economy, particularly the oil price. And what are some of the better mechanisms that our government can do to make sure that we protect ourselves from those incidents, if they happen now, or if something of that nature could happen in the future? How can we protect ourselves from that, and how can we find the better alternatives, especially when we talk about oil trading, when we talk about utilization of resources? Can touch the issue of Angola refinery. You can look at Nigeria. There's been a lot of prediction about Dangote coming here, because that guy does not just come like that. He come for real business. He will not just come to visit you because he like you. He's a man of money. And those are some of the things that we need to touch, to say what other ways can we use so that so that we can survive. And also to make sure that we focus on the national developmental project, because before we go to the main conversation, because this thing, Namibia have had a lot of plans in mind, but when you look at the global economy, when you look at the external factors, look at 2008 when the economy was shaking, look at what happened when Hage came to power, COVID-19 was there. This thing would affect you. you don't have control over them, but there are things that you can do to position yourself strategically enough to that extent that you like have, not to say economic bulletproof, but it's like you can protect yourself to some extent, not just to depend on what the guys in the Middle East are doing. So yeah, let's go to a commercial break, and we are going to have a guest in the studio. Then, yeah, stay tuned.
JSB.
Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The Mega Giveaway 2025 is here with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right. Even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best...
Yes, we are looking at what is on the table, and we just have a caller just to engage us on this. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes, how are you doing? What is your view on this case we are talking about?
So basically, my view is just for, I think it's an eye-opener for our government.
Yeah.
Just to get into trade with Angola, because it's the closest, with, and they are very rich when it comes to oil.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, the current affairs that are happening during the war,
yeah,
I think our prices will definitely, the oil prices will definitely go up.
Yeah.
Not just oil as in fuel, but also gas in overall.
Yeah.
So it will go up, and then I think you should also just encourage us to do a trade with our neighbors, with our African brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oil has been spoken about to say it can be a curse, or it can also be, you know, a good opportunity. Looking at different wars which have been involved, how difficult is, you know, handling oil in the economy, because you always find places where there is richness in terms of oil, there is always war. That's why Iran wanted to cripple the world economy by just, you know, putting the key. I did not expect that. I don't even think you, United States, expected that. But that was the case. And they were also advising, you know, China to say, guys, talk to your Iran. They must not cross that gap. How difficult, what is really the impact of having wealthy of oil in the world, you know, politics?
So, firstly, I would like to say that oil is very sensitive. Let's say in the case of, because it's used by the US dollar.
Yeah.
It's a backup of US dollar. So, it's basically a petrol dollar. US use oil to strengthen their currency.
Hmm.
That's why it's very crucial, especially where the countries that have oil and they are this kind of tensions, they always intervene the early stage because it's a backup of their currency. So now, if it goes in the wrong hands, if it goes out of hands, unfortunately, there will be low demand for currency. There will be low demand for poor.
Now, looking at us, you know, we've been speaking about a lot of things, particularly when we are not on the good side of the economy, particularly in Namibia. We have a lot of expensive things. We have a lot of unfortunate external factors which are affecting our economy. But look at the situation where Namibia is standing now. What do you think is a better mechanism that the country can use just to make sure that, you know, we have alternative in case this thing can happen in the future. We always have a cut under the table.
Yes. So basically, what we can do right now, I think when it comes to, okay, let me just start at the beginning. Oil drives almost everything in the country. If the price of oil goes up, and then we should expect high inflation within the country.
Mm.
So, yeah, in this case, what the government can do or what the Namibians can do, I think we can just subsidize those important industries such as agricultural industry, where we can perhaps subsidize a certain group of people that can produce within the country, especially when it comes to food security.
Mm-hmm.
So the government can give subsidies to these crucial industries. I think it will be one of the good parts to prevent this kind of thing. However, this kind of thing, it will be a short run. It can never be a long run given the budget constraints.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of this kind of thing.
Yeah, now, maybe when you look at Angola is one of our neighbors, but how is the trade relations with Angola when you look at it? Particularly if you want to invest in oil.
There was a proposal that was given by Angola in terms of oil refinery.
Yeah.
And even the fact that Namibia has also discovered oil offshore, I think it would be good for us to invest in this project, because instead of, I had plans of maybe they're going to visit Ghana or somewhere to go refine this oil, instead of going driving that distance, we can just use our neighboring country, which is Angola.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand things have happened when Angola used to trade oil with USA. There are some wretches there. There were some rumors that this, but that wasn't supposed to hinder with the fact that Namibia can be in a good trade with Angola, because the closest is our brother. They have helped us during the war. I think we can just pay back to them just to say, listen, we have appreciated you and would like to be in this kind of trade agreement with you guys.
But the other time, the other time I checked is that deal with Namco, it has collapsed. And I understand that there are also some restriction when you are trading with SACO and all those things. How can we navigate that?
Yeah. So basically, if you look at SACO, I understand we also get most of our finances from SACO. But if you weigh the pros and cons, right, as a country, we already don't have our fiscal policy in place. It's not that strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can weigh those the pros and cons, and you can come to a solid conclusion that it's indeed beneficial trading with Angola other than just SACO members, and which also we also buy other things from non-SACO members, and either with other kind of products. So if you can just go exclusively regarding SACO, you just be in agreement with our brothers of us, I think we can do better as a country. Well, will be cheap, and also the delivery, the supply of oil will also be there as fast.
Yes, thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
Cool. Yes, we are continuing with the conversation. We are continuing with the conversation to say if this thing, you know, being very cautious about global affairs to protect you from a lot of things, It will protect you from a lot of things, because as a country, it's always very important to have an eye on what's happening around you, because we are human beings and we are, you know, people within the country. We think we are far from the world is, but just look at the categorization in terms of countries, where Namibia is sitting with other countries. Like, we are in the same group, we are sitting with other countries. But, you know, a country, you are operating at a global village. And when you are operating at a global village, whatever is happening around you, you must be concerned. Because whatever is happening around you, you are connected to international financial system. You are connected to international, you know, laws. Let's take the caller. Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Shombe. How are you?
Good, uncle. How are you?
You seem good. How are you doing?
No, I'm surviving. Critical but stable.
No. You are very critical. In fact, the critical and stable, those things are very, very, very important.
Yeah, they're very important.
So,
yeah.
So that you are not so shaken.
Yeah.
So the environment must be stable.
Yes.
That's why, you know, one thing that bothered me, and then I came to learn a lesson, is that just like Trump, I'm a friend to Trump.
You're a friend to Trump, eh?
He thought he was going to bully everybody.
Uh-huh.
So now he has actually learned a lesson, a bitter lesson.
But this guy surprised me. Did you think about that also? Me, I did not know.
Imagine, I was thinking that now they want to bully Trump and what. Mm. Before you know what is happening, they surrendered.
I know, and what is also very funny is that, you know, American military never leave a fight without responding. But this one surprised me.
They were hammered. They were warned. And I'm very, very happy because I think one of the announcement that Trump made was that yes. I think I saw something like that. Yeah, this is the end of the third world war. I read something like that, and
I'm also thinking that maybe it could be that Trump is also under pressure at home, because there at home, when you look at his top advisors, like the intelligence, they are not happy.
They hammer him if he is trying to create more chaos.
And they are also saying, apparently, you know, when you look at this declaration of war, it was not having approval of the Congress. That's why, to him, it was just an operation, because he did not want to stay there for long.
So, was that an operation? Not to stabilize the country. And that's why, even now, Netanyahu, he's considering this way, say, please, let the war end.
No,
people, they like bullying Africa.
Mm-mm-mm.
They just want to make sure that they destabilize the whole peace.
Yeah.
And they all do these things. And when they create those chaos of global insecurity.
Yeah.
So then we feel the pinch here. Just like the person who was there now talking about the trading and things like that.
Yeah.
So with Angola, I do not see why people, we need to panic as yet.
Yeah.
Because there are still some kind of rules.
Okay.
Whether it apply to SADC or whether it apply to OPEC or this other thing. The one maybe that was concluded and they say it's elapsed. Maybe there are still areas of negotiation.
Okay.
I believe so, because there's no way you can even, the president, Dr. Netumbo, was there.
No, we don't want speculation. We want a real deal, because this diplomacy thing, sometimes we don't really see where people are standing.
Then you now need to analyze the deals or the situation, and then you now apply the relevant rules there, the law that has to do with international trade, or whether it has to do with those blocks.
Stakus
and all these things. How are the goods being transported?
For us,
we don't have any problem, because we are actually working, we are aligned to some of those protocols and those instruments. So if there are, that one may be lapsed, maybe it was rushed. And then maybe it was going to maybe leave some kind of, you know. So because as long as you apply, what does it really say? What does the OPEC say? The other time we were talking about oil.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not getting there? Is it because it's not refined? Is it because there are still certain legal principles that need to be applied to before we can use that thing? What is the issue?
Looking at it from economic perspective, with the economy, those who gave their input, they are saying, you know, it could be that some agreement with SACU. It could be that sometimes when you are trading with another person, we are already having a deal with another person. It could be you can also receive not indirect, you know, I don't know how to say threats, but you know how the world of business is doing. Look at what was happening when people started buying Gungura. Look at what was happening at those stations at the border. Who was losing the money?
You see now?
Yeah, because so there's something
there.
There are
so many contrabands that comes in and all these things. And this sometimes really, if you don't formalize and create some kind of formality.
Yeah.
And in trading and things like that, people will end up, number one,
yeah,
you also deprived the masses. Something, for example, now, if it has to be taxed, for example.
Yeah.
And most of these goods, when I was in that, and then, so most of these goods, they are not really, you understand? Just to give a little bit, and just to do proper business, you understand?
Yeah.
So, because these things, see, they bring a lot of criminalities, they bring a lot of issues. But I think there could be some areas where people need to still negotiate and iron out and apply the relevant laws.
Yeah.
So there's no way. I don't think people just say, no, I can't trade with Angola. I can't trade with Angola.
I think we need sharp diplomats who can penetrate those grounds and people who also give, not really to say, just give a straight advice, because you know sometimes, ne, what we have observed,
what is really, I'm going to read that article that Mr. Shyama has written.
Yeah.
He was also talking about oil, gas, and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about Angola.
Mm.
I'll look at it.
Yeah.
And then perhaps tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll try to analyze that article.
Yeah.
To see whether there are barriers, could it be some rules, some laws that are not perhaps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
And see. So maybe tomorrow my contribution will be more well informed on that area.
Yeah.
So that we know what's exactly the problem. Is it OPEC?
Yeah.
Is it SACU that people are saying?
Mm.
Then like, you know, we trade. For us, we trade.
Yeah, we need,
as long as we benefit from there, whether it's coming from West, whether it's coming, that's why ours is a mixed economy.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever area that you want to operate, you can do that.
We are mixed.
So provided you follow the principles.
Yes.
So there's no way we cannot trade with Angola. If you don't trade with Angola, and then we trade with who?
That is a very important question that all of us, we also need to answer, to say why Angola is not the main priority. Angola is only a friend with a common history.
It's the main priority. There's no way. Angola is one of the main priorities.
But when you look at things that you trade with Angola, and what you trade with South Africa and Botswana, because it's really not coming out in the picture.
You know, the day when they opened this Angola border 24 hours.
Yeah.
I was there in Angola.
Uh-huh.
Then, so when they opened it yesterday today, they were opening it yesterday tomorrow.
Mm.
I was there, I was also crossing there. And you know, when you go there, you see the influx of people going to Angola.
Yeah.
There is so plenty.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no way, even the food, when we were having this problem of the thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were getting a mango from Angola.
Yeah.
Every time when you go on Friday,
I hear you, but you know where we are not, when we are not, uh, we are not, uh, agreeing on it, ne? Because when you look at our international, you know, trade report, Angola is not coming out in the picture.
Yes, because see, they never had a constitution. It could be that maybe the international trade.
No. To say because Namibia is record. Namibia is there are records, ne?
So I think this is not in the picture.
Yeah.
This is not in the picture.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Angola is not in the picture?
Yeah, it's not in the picture because when you look at our records to say, what did we trade in April? We trade mostly with South Africa, China, a little bit of Botswana, but records to say, what did we send to Angola? What did Angola give
us? Our informal, you know, the hours with Angola.
It's informal, eh?
It's an informal market.
Uh-huh.
Informal economy.
Uh-huh.
So, if you now add what the informal economy is adding, contributing to the GDP.
I think you are
contributing a lot.
Yeah, you are right. There you are right.
So that's why even if you formalize some of the informal economic activities, that's why I was telling you, look at the influx of the people, the goods that are coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, maybe like Kanjoka was saying the other time that yes,
no, you know, he like you for my market.
Yes, yeah. Remember, if you are not in our regions, are not adding more on the GDP.
Yeah.
Through our economy, maybe levies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might not do ourselves a favor.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that the business, Angola is a priority. We don't go to Botswana, for example.
It's a priority to say in terms of informal, but when you want to make real business, it could be that, you know, when you want to make real business, maybe sometimes you are asking, is it because of a language? Because the commonality that we have there is only...
If you really want to make business, listen,
the real GDP,
and you want to make business,
mm-hmm.
If the informal economic activities are contributing more in terms of employment, in terms of economic GDP, for example, if we are contributing more on that one, look at the informal agricultural sector.
No.
We are talking about food here now.
Okay, let us look for example when you talk about oil. Oil in Angola is very cheap. People are trading oil, through the fence, that is Ngungura. But it's an informal economy, but when you look at the financial system. Wait.
Those ones are contraband.
Yeah. When you look at the informal, when you look at the financial system, you'll be able to realize to say, some of these guys were supposed to pay tax. Why can't we just trade formally straightforward? Once the laws are
harmonized there.
Because politicians are also using those Ngungura. Wait, but they don't want
to. If you want to use Ngungura, then remember, there is also some kind of consequences. And I'm telling you, there are consequences.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know your filter. Your filter.
So,
I did a little bit of the mechanical engineering.
But those is only happening to Namibian vehicles or also to Angolan?
Because most of them, you mix. You mix too much, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
You mix this other one. If the thing is not so refined.
Yeah.
And it's too thick.
Yeah.
And maybe your car is using... I'm just saying that people have... And I've heard this one from people who are driving.
It's not only business psychology.
It's true. It's a true thing.
So
you might take a risk there. You might, of course, and things like that. I'm not saying that, but what is it that, why are we not allowing this thing to be done? Is it because there are protocols to be followed? Or is it just maybe the government doesn't just want you to trade?
No, it could be that there are also other big guys who are saying if you open that borders, our business are going to collapse.
No. The masters have got, my friend, the masters have got a very strong voice. minister of parliament they refuse or whatever.
But we are going to have another conversation one day to say who own Namibian economy, who own Namibian economy, and who is calling the shots. Because in most cases, when you look at Africa, most, richest countries in terms of mineral resources, the person who is on the table is not really the person who is calling the shots. Because that is going to be the discussion of another day. calling the shots, the person who is in charge, like really, really in charge, who can influence decisions.
It's us, it's the masses.
Who is the masses?
The only problem is the masses. The only problem is that our voice are very scattered. Sometimes but what I know is that the masters have got the bigger voice.
Who are those masters?
Including yourself, myself, the people on the ground.
No, you are speaking like a Marxist, but yeah. okay, thank you, Ned.
All right.
Yeah, that is our uncle. He said the masters are the one. We have the power, that is saying the power of the people. Speak like those, Marxist revolutionaries with a bit of, socialism ideology to say the people have power. Yes, indeed, the people have power when they stand together. But there is always somebody who benefit from somebody's pain, because when you look at the structure of our economy, when you look at our financial system, you really ask yourself, there's something really wrong, because money is moving around from one corner to another corner, but it's not really impacting the lives of the people on the ground. Because, for example, that's the discussion of another day. When you look at, for example, like the city of Windhoek, the population of Windhoek is almost 500,000, and it's growing with not less than 2% every year, and a lot of people are moving to Windhoek. Now, if you can go and do your homework and see what is the pace of Windhoek development in terms of infrastructure in comparison to accommodating of the population, which is increasing every year, and who is benefiting from that? Then you have a lot of question marks. Then maybe you get some answers here and there. But yeah, at this point in time, we have around, 2 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And, today we are talking about, what brought diplomacy, what brought this Israel and Iran on the table. We're analyzing what is passed by Iran parliament, particularly the law. Not really a law, but it's a resolution, because the structure of Iran and parliament, you need the supreme leader to declare that it's a law. And, in this case, it's a closure of, Hormuz trade route. And we were trying to look at how it's an impact on Namibian economy in terms of, oil market. And, who's going to suffer more? What are the better alternative ways of doing that? And, how can, we position ourselves? And, also to, not really to say not to suffer, but at least to have a little bit of safety when things happen in the external, or in a global market, or even at the international affairs. This thing is not only in terms of the financial system, it's not only in terms of how we manage our resources. You can also look at the structure of our health system. If there is an epidemic outside, how can we defend ourselves? Are we just open doors? How can we protect ourselves? If the economy is shaking some countries, some they are protecting themselves. Yes, Nigeria is importing, but the majority of oil is from within. They have the biggest refinery in Africa, bigger than a lot of them in the Middle East. And Angola is also the same. But how can we protect ourselves? Is our international trade laws protecting our economy in terms of trouble? But yeah, those are some of the questions that we can ask. But for now, thank you very much, dear listeners, and thank you to the participants. And we are always very happy when you are contributing to the conversation. And yeah, we need to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly and Naruvanda to proceed with their program. Mtumwa, stay tuned. And don't forget to download the app. Don't forget to follow us in our social media platform. And until tomorrow, see you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free.